We can get started.
And if somebody joins, they join. And I'd like again the opportunity to navigate through the agenda. I'm going to put an investment report by Raymond James on hold temporarily. If I can go on to item two and ask for the board's approval of the minutes of the meeting of 7/19, July 19th, if that's your pleasure.
This is Kathy Graves. I move that we accept the minutes from July 19th.
Thank you.
Susan Whetstone,
Second?
second. Susan Whetstone, second.
Thank you. Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and seconded, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their voice vote. Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Elker?
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnola is also an aye. Item three, administrative matters, are going to put on hold. Item four, let's see, age annuity retirement, rule of 80, early retirement information only, does not require the deliberation or vote of the trustees. We can go on unless there is a specific question the trustees would have on item four. If not, item five also is contribution withdrawals is information only. Unless there is a question to be entertained by the trustees on item five, go on to item six, disability retirement re-examinations. As you know, the trustee, if you retire from our pension plan or disability, it's required by the plan that within the first 5 years of your disability retirement, you have to be examined three times by our medical consultants to ensure that the debilitating condition continues. That being the case, George Daddio is in for another disability retirement. Is this a, I'm trying to remember, Leon, is this a second retirement?
This
A
is the third and final one.
third and final, I'm sorry.
Yes.
All right. And the medical records are available. If for some reason we have to go into discussion on his medical condition, by review of his records, we would have to vote to go into executive session. So, what is the board's pleasure on item six?
Move to approve.
I'll
Motion made.
second.
And second, is there a discussion?
Kathy.
Kathy, second, right?
Yes.
The motion made and second. Is there a discussion on the motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'll call upon the trustees for their voice vote. Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Elker?
Yes.
And Trustee Sagnola is also yes. Item seven, death after retirement information only. Item eight, survivor death after retirement information only. I would like to call upon the trustees for a moment of silence for the recognition of the death, the repose of these souls. Thank you. Rest in peace. Item nine, payment of bills. What's the board's pleasure on item nine?
So moved. This is
Move.
Kathy.
Been moved.
Susan Whetstone, second.
Susan Whetstone, second it. Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for a voice vote. Trustee Whetstone,
Aye.
Trustee Graves,
Aye.
Trustee Elker,
Yes.
Trustee Sagnello is also aye. We can
Thank
return back to the agenda, the order of the agenda. And item three, administrative matters. A, approval of established administrative expenses for fiscal year 2024-25. We have some discussion on that, Liana and
Yes, let
Caroline.
me I could share the screen even though you guys have it. You want, oh, Taylor, can you just give me the access to share the screen, please? So if you all remember, we switched maybe 2 years ago to have this done in August of each year so that it complies to get it to Board of Alders by the September date. Every August, you know, the last couple of years we've been presenting. Prior to that, I think we were doing it maybe December, presenting an estimated administrative expenses for the upcoming years. This chart was mainly compiled by the Management and Budget Office. They keep track of all of the took all of the SURF bills. And then, you know, I also spoke to the actuary to get the there's a couple fees, like the Northern Trust fee we had to get from the actuary, which they pulled from the GASB report from accounting. Let me just make it this bigger for you guys. Can everyone see that a bit better, I think? So again, this is for the upcoming fiscal years, like an estimated expense. Last year, we actually kept, because we only have the actual numbers for the Northern Trust line up until fiscal year ending 2022. After that, we don't get the 2023 number until November. So last year we left it all as zeros across the board, and I, you know, I reviewed the minutes and the trustees. Obviously, that changes the end amount. So you guys had put in the vote last year. You know, yes, we're voting on this figure, but knowing that it will increase, you know, due to the fee. So what I just did for this year was I just added in what it was last year. It stayed for the most part pretty consistent, and then it also then factored it in for the 2024, 2025 estimated years. I think he has in maybe a 2.5 increase each year. So again, we have here are the actuary and custodian fees that we pay normally. Markham, as you know, is just the 1 year. That's every 3 years. That's to do the voting where they vote for Jerry's position and Mark's position. The Grasso Associates, that's you guys vote on that every March, I want to say. It's for the liability insurance. The others you should be pretty much aware. Lake Marfanti, that's when Nancy Kulesa comes and speaks to us. Legal services, Brenner Salzman, medical expenses. And these are just other random fees that might happen throughout the year. So these are the totals at the bottom. This was last year. This is estimating. This is for the most part all set except for the Northern Trust fee. And then this, you know, we rounded up for the fiscal year 24, fiscal year 25. And then the bottom is investment, including investment fees. But I believe it was a few years ago, we stated that these were not a part of the administrative fees that we give to the Board of Alders, but that just, you know, also shows that at the bottom as well. See right here. So the Northern Trust number is estimated as the actual number will not be available till November. 2.5%, the 2.5%, and then a 3% for 2025. Okay, so that's how he did this one. So ultimately, these would be the final numbers that you're, you know, taking a vote on today. And if this is approved, we would, you know, let Mike know, and he would pass this along to the Board of Alders to meet that September deadline.
Any commentary, Carolyn?
No, looks like what we're supposed to be doing.
That being said, is there a motion to accept the estimated administrative expenses for fiscal year 24-25?
Susan Whetstone, I move approval.
So moved. Your second.
Kathy Graves, I'll second.
Is there discussion on the motion?
I have two minor questions.
Sure.
Edible arrangements is under actuary custodians. It just seemed like an odd place to put it.
Yeah, that should probably be at the bottom.
Yeah, it's just weird.
That was just one fee. Yeah. I think maybe when someone passed away in 2019, there was an amount that was sent there.
Yeah, it
I
just seemed like an
disagree.
odd category. The other
Yes.
question I had was, I know I went to a conference one year and I got reimbursed for my expenses. Do they not show up here?
Right here is the Opal.
Yeah, I went to
It's
it last
buried.
year.
So they might not have that one up there because it looks like it's just for Kathy and Jerry.
I would just
Yeah, I think that would just go into because if you went July or June of, I can't, I'd have to see when you were
yeah.
reimbursed, what month it was in, because it was right around the fiscal year.
Okay.
But that wouldn't change the fees that you're voting on, because it wasn't, obviously you're voting on for the future.
Right.
But it does change the past one. So I'll make note of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Susan, with your keen eye for detail. Right, a motion has been made. It's been second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? In the absence of, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their vote. Trustee Whetstone.
Aye.
Trustee Graves.
Aye.
Trustee Elker.
Aye.
Trustee Sagnello is also aye. Item 3B, adopt a policy for the 884 to match 3144 side letter. Who's going to offer commentary on that? Is that you, Carolyn?
Yes. Thank you very much for putting that up. So the city recently entered into two collective bargaining agreements, one with Local 3144 and one with Local 884, that included a provision that an employee who entered SERF at the age of 60 or after would have the opportunity to select Social Security rather than SERF, rather than having it be mandatory that they join SERF. When labor relations was drafting that section, they asked for our commentary. And because years ago we had experience with the executive management having the option to join SERF after 1 year, and many people declining that option or not exercising that option, and then working for the city for 10 years and all of a sudden wanting to join SERF, we wanted to very much create a procedure in which people elected in writing whether or not that they wanted to be part of Social Security or SERF. And we went to labor relations with language to that effect. With 3144, it was just very, I guess, too late. But everybody agreed that there would be such a procedure. And 3144 entered into a side letter, with the city labor relations department, establishing the following procedure, which is that a new employee would have 30 days to elect, to join SERF or Social Security, that is a new employee who was hired at the age of 60 or after, and an existing employee would have 6 months from the ratification date of the 3144 contract to opt out of SERF, get a return of their contributions, and join Social Security. And for 3144, Leanna has sent letters to all of those employees eligible to do that with an election form. But for Local 884, a similar side letter was not adopted by the union. So we asked labor relations their thoughts about how to also have the same kind of procedure. And they felt that this was an administrative procedure that we could implement by means of a regulation. And SERF has the authority in the contracts and in its enabling legislation to adopt regulations for the administration of the fund. So a regulation before you, for your consideration, sets out these facts. So it starts with, how there's this new contract with 884, how it has this provision regarding running election to join Social Security. And then if you could just scroll down, that CERF has the trustees have the authority to make regulations not inconsistent for the administration of the plan. Then it describes a side letter, excuse me, that I just discussed. And then it says that the Board of Trustees wishes, finds it's in the best interest of CERF to adopt the same procedure for Local 884 as has been adopted for Local 314 for employees who are hired at the age of 60 or after. And then it sets forth the procedure that I've just described. New employees, 30 days hiring, existing employees, 6 months. So they have until December 4th, 2023. And that the pension administrator will notify all employees eligible to enroll in Social Security of these requirements and the deadlines. So that's what this regulation that's before you provides.
All right, so this got the blessings of our legal counsel. It's the allowances are in the pension plan to do this, and it's got the approval and the okay of the labor relations office. So everybody's on board with this.
You're right. So we haven't sent this regulation, but that's the advice that they gave us, and we will send this regulation to them if they adopt it.
Okay. That being the case, what's the trustee's pleasure on item B?
I move approval of the resolution. Susan Whetstone.
I'll
Motion
second.
made.
I'll second.
And second. Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their voice vote. Trustee Graves.
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone.
Aye.
Trustee Elliker.
Yes.
And Trustee Sagnella is also yes. Item C, the Comptroller's Guidance on Public Act 23-182, Municipal Retirees Plan Data Collection. That's information only. Is there any little commentary you want to give us quickly on that, Carolyn?
Well, should I do this or I'll do it rather than Leanna? But Leanna, you
Well, you
chime
both
in.
can do it. You both can do it.
We've both been involved in this. So the legislature, and it was brought to Leanna's attention by counsel for the paraprofessional for the plan that the paraprofessionals over at the Board of Ed are part of. But the legislature passed this statute this year saying that by September 1st, all municipal pension plans have to give a report to the controller that includes those items. So whether or not there's an investment policy, the summary plan documents, the 5 most recent actuarial valuations, the form and governance structure, a statement of whether the municipality uses a third-party advisor, and the estimated fees paid by the municipality in each of the previous 5 fiscal years. Leanna has worked very hard to gather that information. We don't have summary plan documents for CERF, but we do the annual reports, which are given to the employees, and in my view, they function like a summary plan document. I think there's concern in the legislature about municipal pension plans across the state. And the controller, treasurer, and secretary of OPM are to look at all of this plan information from every municipality and report back by July 1st, 2024 about recommendations of how the municipal plans can be improved, how the state can partner with municipalities to reduce fees and improve investment returns. And so Leanna is doing this not only for CERF, but also for PNF and also for all of the other retirement plans that the city has. Like, the what are the numbers of those? Because I'm not the
It's a paraprofessional, the 457B, the 403B, the 401A for executive management, and the special fund for 3144, which is 457B and a 401A. But all these, I mean, even if they want information, all these questions don't pertain to each, because some are, you know, defined contribution, defined debt, so on and so forth. So like there's no actuary for the other ones. But yeah, I think I actually gathered all of the responses for SURF. But it's basically a survey. When you go to the survey, it's not really broken down. They really wanted like one submission for each town, but like with seven different plans, it's going to make it a little complicated. So I might break it up. But I'm at least waiting till I gather all the information for the other plans first, and then I'll definitely have it submitted before September 1st.
You know, there's national concern about governmental plans and how much they pay in fees. And there was an article, I don't know if everyone saw it, in the New York Times Sunday section 2 Sundays ago about this subject, which I sent to, I think, Jerry and Leanna.
Thank you both. Is there any questions from the for the trustees on this item?
This is Susan. I do have a question. The actuarial valuation, is that the unfunded liability?
That's a valuation that Herker and Holcomb does every 2 years, and it does include that information.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any further questions on this particular item? Thank you both, Liana and Carolyn. I'd like to go on to item D, court decision regarding Daniel Wine. Just to give you a little history on this situation, back in the 90s, there was a two New Haven policemen who were involved in a crime that was committed in terms of narcotics in a particular car. At the time, I think it was near the Howard Johnson's that was here, parking lot. As a result of this, they were involved in a crime committed while they were in uniform. Because at the time, the state of Connecticut had no, and I don't want to be sound sexist, but the nomenclature they used at the time was there was no bad boy clause to address when somebody did something wrong while they were in the commission of their duties, in terms of any ramifications to their pension. One of these officers was allowed to retire on an age annuity, and there was a UN outcry across the state that that something has to be done about this. As a result of that, correct me if I'm wrong at any point, Carolyn, but as a result of that, the state legislature did, in fact, pass legislation to address situations where employees committed crimes while in the commission of their duties as an employee, and that there could be ramifications against any pension entitlements that they had. That being the case, since that's happened, the first and hopefully the last incident of in New Haven of such a commission of crime occurred about 5 years ago, when an employee in the controller's office, Daniel Lyon, who worked on the payroll side of the payroll and pension division, through audits was determined to have embezzled $100,000 of payroll money. He was arrested. He made restitution. He paid the money back. And he has been the first New Haven case where and any decisions that when these cases go before for review, the decisions are removed from the local authorities. So the state of Connecticut, through the Attorney General's office, are the ones that handle the determination as to what's going to happen with such an employee. So the City of New Haven Police Department, the Secret Service Office of New Haven, because they were involved in municipal corruption at the time, and the state of Connecticut collectively worked on the investigation of this case. This case has gone forward. Mr. Lyon has gone to court. And as a result of that, I'll let Carolyn and Leanna give you a briefing on what their decision has been. They could have completely revoked his pension, but they instead decided to impose a reduction in his pension. Leanna and Carolyn, would you like to take over and just explain what's happening with that?
Sure. So what this statute that Jerry described provides is that the Attorney General must, if the crime is related to the person's position, go to court and seek either that the pension, as Jerry said, be completely taken away or that it be reduced. And there are five factors which the court has to consider in making that decision. And the first factor is the severity of the crime related to the person's job. And in this case, the judge said that it was severe. Second factor is the amount of money lost by the government. And the judge said in this case, because as Jerry said, Mr. Lyon made restitution to the city of New Haven, the city had not lost any funds. The third factor is the degree of trust in that the person who was convicted of the crime or pled guilty in this case had. What degree of trust was their position? And the court said in this case, in Mr. Lyon's case, he really wasn't known to the public. It wasn't like as if a mayor, as in some of the other cases, whom the public trusted, that Mr. Lyon really was not known to the public. So there was a very limited degree of trust. The fourth factor is, was the person's action part of a fraudulent scheme? And because Mr. Lyon had done this on 50 occasions, the court said it was part of a fraudulent scheme. And then the fifth factor is, are there any other factors? And in this case, the judge said, look, Mr. Lyon had worked for the city for 42 years. He had, basically, other than this, been a good employee. He had done his job. He had severe heart conditions. He has medical problems. He was incarcerated for 3 months. And then the judge, the last factor was that he really had no other source of income. And because of his age and health, no ability to probably be employed again. So the judge said, given all of those factors, that the judge felt that a 20% reduction in his pension was appropriate. So I can answer any questions, that the trustees have about that I can answer,
I had a quick question.
Not appealed. Yes.
I may not be remembering this correctly, Attorney Cohn, but I thought that the state statute was only covering financial fraud. It wasn't covering any crime an employee might commit. Am I remembering that incorrectly?
No. So it has to be related to their office. And sometimes, because we've had two other occasions where the Attorney General's office has determined it wasn't related to the office. But I think, for instance, if a police officer did something incredibly inappropriate as part of, in connection with what they were, their investigation, I believe that the statute would apply to that person's that person's pension.
Okay.
I don't have the statutory language in front of me, but I know this has become an issue in the past with whether or not it was related to the person's job.
I remember hearing at the time when this legislation was adopted, that there was a situation, there was discussion on cities and towns that required their employees to pay into their pension plans, but would not allow them to pay into Social Security. And that if there was such a crime that was committed by an employee, and that employee was led before the state review, that it would be problematic if they completely revoked that employee's city pension or town pension, because that in effect rendered them ineligible for any pension at all, since they were not allowed to pay into Social Security. You remember that, Carolyn?
No, I don't. But that's, you know, that is one of the factors here, is that
financial hardship.
Yeah, right. And whether or not, like in Mr. Lyons' case, he was not getting any Social Security. It's not as if he had other jobs. He really basically worked for a life.
Okay, Carol, thank you very much. Are there any questions that the trustees have on this particular issue? All right, if not, I'd like to turn to item one on the agenda. Is Raymond James here?
Jerry, I think you're looking at the draft one that we discussed with Carolyn, because I removed it from the official one because I forgot that they do quarterly. Yeah, so they're not here.
This is the witness month that they don't have to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
And next month they do the deep dive. Okay, well, if that's the case, then I think we've pretty much exhausted the agenda. And if you want, I'll entertain a... Is there anything else we have to do, Liana?
No, unless anyone has any old business or new business to discuss. Otherwise, that should be everything.
I'm going to Atlanta at the end of the month on the 31st. I'm going to be on a panel with Marquette Associates on diverse managers.
Great.
They got the right person. You were on a lot of panels, weren't you?
Well, I haven't been on one lately. This is the first one this year.
You're well known.
No, there was something early in the spring on diverse managers as well.
We have a celebrity in our midst. Well, all right, then I think we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion on the motion? In the absence of, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their vote to adjourn. Trustee Graves?
Yes.
Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Elliker?
Aye.
Trustee Sagnella is also yes. That being the case, I'll see you in a month. Please stay safe and healthy.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.